Good morning, a very happy Yom Yerushalayim. It's a significant day, a miraculous day on our calendar. Six-day war, which was really over in a couple of hours, when miraculously, you know, they had prepared 60,000 graves in Israel. Chevra Kadisha of Israel had prepared tens of thousands of graves in anticipation of being slaughtered, and the possibility that Israel would have just been a short experiment, and would be wiped off the map. Instead, miraculously, supernaturally, we defeated our enemies. Not only defeated our enemies, but in a certain sense, thank God they attacked us, because it gave us the pretext to be able to get the old city, and to get the Kotel, and to get the Golan, and to get Yehuda Vishomron, and to get different parts of the great Eretz Yisrael. So it's a day that we should all show our deep appreciation and endless gratitude to the Almighty for the miracles He bestowed upon our generation. 2,000 years of generations longed for what we have. And here we are sitting in Boca. Anyway, page Kuf. Sha'arim b'tfila. We're just here temporarily, I know. Till Noam brings us all, leads the way, begins a community, BRS East, and we follow him. Okay, page Kuf. Sha'arim b'tfila. So in the section of Sha'arim b'tfila, Rav Pinkas has been describing the significance, the importance of humility. Humility as a prerequisite to prayer. We discussed last week. The arrogant person can't pray. If you think that you're in control of your destiny, if you think that you're in charge of everything, if you make no room to be in awe of God or for God's role in our lives, so you can't really pray. It's lip service. Davening is just another one of the things that I do to take care of me, but I don't really mean it, because really it's up to me, not God. So humility is both a prerequisite to prayer, and as well, last week he described that humility is a form of prayer. When one prays in a humble fashion, when you daven and present yourself in a way where you realize, just little old me, I control nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm turning to you with great humility, that being humble is itself a form of prayer. And how did he prove that? He said when someone knocks on your door, when someone needs help, if you're a great doctor, if you're a super lawyer, and somebody comes and says with great humility, I'm stuck, I need help, there's no one in the world who can help me but you, the more humble they present themselves, the more predisposed you are to want to help them. And the less humble they present themselves, I got this covered, I really don't need you, but someone told me to see you anyway, so if you want to take a look at it, but really, I got it covered. You say, you got it covered, God bless, good luck, you don't need me. So the more humble you are, humility itself is an expression of tefillah. So in the middle of page Kuf. All requests, all supplications, everything we ask Hashem should be with a humble fashion. The way it's paskened in our holy code. You're supposed to daven like a indigent person who is knocking on the door. This is an altogether different type of davening, and it's more likely to be answered. You see somebody who's in pain, you see somebody who's humbled and broken by their condition, you're likely to want to help them. So if we are humbled and broken by our condition before the Almighty, the Ribbono Shel Olam, He's much more likely to help us. But not so the arrogant person. You stand in front of Hashem, I got it all, I'm complete, I have everything. Now it doesn't mean you shouldn't be appreciative as if you have everything. A person should feel like Avram Avinu, like Yaakov when he reunited with Esav. Esav says Yeshli Rav, and Yaakov says Yeshli Kol, I have everything. To say in front of Hashem, Yeshli Kol, meaning Hashem, you take good care of me, that's not what he's talking about. That is virtuous, meritorious, that is worthwhile. To have an attitude of Hashem, everything I have everything, I'm good to go. What he means is you should not have the attitude, lo chasa lo klum, meaning I'm in control of everything. I have everything, and it can never disappear. A person has to remember always that my life, my health, my children, my family, my shalom bayis, my parnasa, it's all borrowed, but never owned. Borrowed, but never owned. The moment you feel that you own it, and that you can't lose it, that arrogance distances you from Hashem. This is what the Pasuk in Hosea means, Navi Hosea, that if you present yourself like a child, a beloved child, a child who loves a parent, The child, the 8-year-old, the 9-year-old, is desperate for the parent. Can you get me a cup of water? Can you help me with my homework? Can you take me where I need to go? The child has no presumption that they are independent, that they don't need the parent. The child knows that they're finite, they're limited, and that they need the parent entirely. So if we present ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like we're a 6, 7, 8-year-old, once they get a teenager, it's a totally different story. But if they're a preteen, at least, and before that, when they realize how limited they are and how much they need the parent, so they are totally kafuf to the parent. So that's how we're supposed to present ourselves to Hashem. Like that child who realizes that I need your help. I need your help getting places in life. I need your help succeeding in life. The Rambam, or Pinkus doesn't mention this, the Rambam goes so far as to say that this attitude or this expression of davening, davening as humility, should actually define our posture in tefillah, in prayer. Rambam says a person should daven with their right hand over their left hand, over their heart, and a little bit hunched over. Right, this whole notion of shuckling, the whole notion of shuckling during davening, we have a tradition for this too. It says, the pasuk says, Kol atmosai tomarna, all of my bones tell you, God. We say in Nishmas, Kol atmosai tomarna, all of my being davens to Hashem. So we have a tradition that you shuckle. All of my being is getting into the davening. I'm getting into the rhythm, the pattern. I'm getting into it with my whole being. But that's not the Rambam. Rambam doesn't describe actually shuckling. The Rambam describes standing still. One should stand absolutely still. That's the best for concentration. Your right hand over your left hand, which is chesed over din, right over left. We always give preference. And over your heart. And a person who stands like this, it's like a humble posture. If you had to come before a judge who was going to decide your fate, I don't know if you'd be shuckling and flailing your arms, and I don't know if you'd be standing there with great confidence. You'd be, judge, please, please, take into consideration my needs, my family, with humility. The Rambam says that's the posture. If you ever watch Rav Schechter, Shlita Davin, you'll see that's how he davens. It's based on the Rav. I think the Rav davened that way as well. You don't see him shuckle an iota. Stand completely still and absolutely concentrating with a great posture of humility. Okay, continues Rav Pinkus, Oz Dalad, page Kuf. We are finishing up the section on Nipul. Kvar Omer Bali Avoda She'enekar Agaiva Klape B'nei Adam Al Ikaru Hushim Izgar Lefnei Boro. When you talk about somebody being arrogant, to whom are they arrogant? Where is their arrogance directed? Is arrogant in the eyes of the Almighty? Is the arrogance in confrontation with Hashem or with man? So he says, the Balei Avodah say, real gaiva, real arrogance is not regards to man, but is in regards to Hashem. Arrogance is brazenness and rebellion to the Almighty. Kemo she'amru Chazal, our great rabbi said in Sotahei, Kosh Baruch Hu Omer, Ein Ani V'Hu Yechol Lomadu Ba'olam. That an arrogant person, God says, there's not enough room in the world for me and him. Imagine. Hashem says, an arrogant person, there's not enough room. You know, we all know people like that. You're in the room with someone arrogant, and they all the attention goes around them. They suck the air out of the room. Life revolves around them. They know the answer to everything. They control the conversation. They're the expert. There's not enough room in that room. There's not enough room in the American Airlines arena for them and anyone else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, an arrogant person, there's not enough room in the world for me and them. And it's as if the arrogance pushes God out of the room. God says, I'll go elsewhere. It's not enough room for me here. Habir b'zeh, what does this mean? She'en od milvado. Our whole essence in life is to say that all that really exists is Hashem. We are an extension of Hashem. Hashem is the source of everything. Hashem is existence. We are nothing. Ein od milvado. There's nothing but God. We are offer ve'efer. Person who says, no, I exist. I exist. So there's no room for Hashem. It's exactly contradictory to Hashem. A person who's arrogant can never feel awe. What is awe? Awe means I'm impressed. Awe means that's incredible. But if you're arrogant, nothing is ever worthy of your awe. And if you can't feel awe, then you can't connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that relationship is predicated on awe. Have a fantastic Yom Yerushalayim and a great day.